No title again?
Anda de lo le le du mare.
Is it rolling, Bob?
Yes, indeed. 66 years old today. Feeling every inch of it. In a good way. I've just been having a string of conversations in my head. You know how you do that? Or I do. I'm sure you do, too. You're talking to somebody. You're giving the lines on both sides. You're picturing them. You know, it's you're running a screenplay. And I was saying to the dean of my college how happy I've been to be teaching here. And we'd like to continue with not too much of a workload, thank you. And then I switched over and I went over to the place where I used to volunteer to do the mediating and the youth justice committee, you know, the justice circles. Kids get in trouble and you give them an alternative instead of going through the court system. Give them a little bit of a talking to and finding out if they're sincerely sorry for whatever stupid thing it is they did. And then try and find some form or some way that they can make it right that hopefully in the end actually betters them as a person, you know. It's not punishment. It's, you know, further training, guidance. And some sincere apologies. Anyway, I was in this imaginary conversation saying, you know, how about you guys hiring me for one day a week? Find a budget. Get a federal grant or provincial grant or city grant, for that matter, and hire me for one day a week. Because I don't know if I can afford to just keep doing volunteer stuff into the future. And then, of course, it just wandered on from there. But the reason for all that mental wandering is because just before I went to hit the button to start this thing, a little voice, another one of those voices, came up and said, you know, dude, did you ever think that this podcasting thing you do is actually getting in between you and the real experience? It's actually serving as a filter. And all this talk about you wanting to be in the now, living in the moment, you're throwing in a screen in between you, the inner you, and the outer whatever it is. In this case right now, it's the waves crashing in on the beach here at Bluffers Park. It's a very windy day. I'm seeing two, I think they're cormorants, if they're common around here. Very dark, long beaks, and they just take a dive straight down. Actually, there's a bunch of them. A bird watchers group went by. Very interesting to see. I mean, they all, you could tell. If it was a puzzle, who belongs in this group and who doesn't? You know, every one of those people would have belonged in that group. They got binoculars, they got hats, they got warm clothes. They're used to walking, they got comfortable shoes, and they're in a herd moving around. Anyway, I don't want to get too sidetracked. One of the other voices said, dude, you know, you really owe the few people who still listen to you, you owe them to be a little more focused, perhaps. And, of course, there's the usual buzz. No, I don't. No, I don't. I'll do whatever I want. And so what we're going to do is we're going to read the little clip that I cut out of yesterday's newspaper. April 24th, it's data. This is a moment in time from the Globe and Mail. April 24th, 1942. In her 21 books, Lucy Maud Montgomery always provided happy endings. Her feisty heroines, most famously red-haired Anne Shirley, invariably defeated the naysayers who undermined the dreams of the young. A happy ending eluded Montgomery herself. She died at 67 at her Toronto home, officially of coronary thrombosis, but more likely of a self-inflicted overdose, a circumstance her descendants revealed only 6 years ago. A bedside note read, "May God forgive me. My position is too awful to endure." The depression that claimed her sprang from her miserable marriage to a mentally ill clergyman who never read her novels, and from the shame of her elder son's criminal behavior. Diagnosed with neurasthenia, she was prescribed barbiturates and bromides, whose dangers weren't understood. Barbiturates are habit-forming and bromides toxic. She's buried in Cavendish, PEI, a place of pilgrimage for her readers from around the world. Now, I wouldn't have known that about Lucy Maud Montgomery, and, excuse me, I don't think my life would be all that different, knowing this or not knowing this. But it just strikes me, there's just so much stuff out there that we're unaware of, and somehow this seemed really important. Like, oh, okay, I will never, like, any time somebody talks about Anne of Green Gables, I'm going to remember this. And, gee, it's kind of sad. It's beautiful that she left these wonderful books that made so many people happy. Of course, she's huge in Japan, but completely separate from the real person who died, you know, sad and lonely and in pain, probably of a suicide. So, I don't know the significance of that other than the separation of self and one's creation. I find that fascinating. Probably with that in mind, this morning, as I lay in bed not wanting to get up too early, I downloaded some podcast on my new Mac Mini, or iPad Mini. I love it. Oh, man, do I love it. And found a couple on history. I thought, holy shit, there's all kinds of things on history that I haven't listened to and would like to know more about. And, of course, that took me back to the Dixon Janes podcast. And what truly a waste of time it might be. And I don't see that begging for people to say, no, dude, I like it. That's not what I'm looking for. I'm just saying my time would be better spent listening to some of these history podcasts, for example, instead of the time I spend doing me on this show. I've got one, You Missed History Class, and another one, A History of Canada. And they look fantastic. There's a whole two-part thing on Maurice Duplessis, Le Chef of Quebec, which I really want to read. The Mutiny and Massacre of Batavia, I know nothing about. And then the Battle of Hastings, just for a renewal, we all know about. But, gee, I could learn that in depth. So it's exciting to learn things. That sort of relates to the Lucy Maud Montgomery. And I thought again of these things. Wow, these would be great clips to use with some of my students in future. Hey, tune into these and learn something. And I guess it ties into I still want to be a teacher. I still want to educate people. I'm still looking for a way to combine, and maybe I already am, those talents of teaching and being empathetic to people with not just disabilities, but people who are struggling in life. And then this counseling training that I want to finish up and practice more of. So there is this coming together. And that takes me to my next point. How badly I've been feeling lately about the posts I've put up. The ranting, the raving, but more, it's not just been ranting and raving, it's been trying to understand my own feelings about these foot-washing stations in colleges. I'm so afraid that somebody's going to hear that and just right away label me a bigot, and I don't want that. It's not fair and it's not true, and it's my part of my point is we should be open to talk about these things. We should be able to explore and share our feelings and be corrected if we're wrong. And maybe what I've been thinking I need a good friend who is a Muslim who can talk to me and be open with me and help me maybe be a little more understanding, a little more open-minded, I guess. And I'm just afraid that I'm doing what the media wants me to do, is I'm polarizing things. I'm thinking just in terms of the extremes. The guy went into a hospital in Afghanistan and killed three doctors. Well, you don't kill doctors. They help people. And I know that only that just represents the fanatical faction. And those are the ones we have to tune out, but it just, I'm painting too many people with that same brush, and I know that's, I've got to correct that. This leads to another point. While I was on this trip to Costa Rica, one of the students was a Sikh. You know right away he's wearing a turban. I really liked him. I just had so much respect. I don't know what it was. There's something about his good nature. I had a vision of him, and I told him this, and it was wonderful. He led a dance, and it got me up dancing. And he said, I don't know the dancing or the words, but I just want to share this with the villagers. He shared of himself. He shared of his culture. He shared of his religion in such a beautiful way. It just, honestly, it did change me. And I had this vision when he was up dancing and the kids, you know, from the local villages were watching him. He's the one they thought was their magician, you know, because he had a turban on and we all laughed. But he could laugh so much at that. But I had this vision of his grandchildren in the future around his feet, just loving him, this wonderful man. There was just a kindness, a higher being. And, you know, maybe I'm carried away here, maybe I'm exaggerating, but that's how I felt, that's what I saw. And I was happy to share it with him. And he told me as we were walking up and down this hill in Baruca, this place where these people had fought off the Spanish conquistadors, a piece of history in that part of Central America. He talked about his religion and the beauty of it and why they wear the turban and don't cut their hair, and He did it in such a wonderful, open, intelligent, caring, sharing way that it forever changed me. That from now, every time I see somebody in a turban now, I feel differently. I feel open. They're no, it's no longer us and them. It's, oh, okay. And that's a good thing. And I think I need the same from somebody of the Islamic religion to do that to me, to somehow touch me and free me of maybe some prejudices that I do have. Wow. That's I guess that's a bit of a confession, and it's something I'm needing to do because I've put those things out there. I've posted the picture of the foot washing stations. And another thing occurred to me as I'm driving down the hill into Bluffers Park. I would never, ever want to see people yanking out those foot washing stations that are already here and somebody saying, no, this is wrong, there's been a reversal on policies, they don't belong in our colleges, and take them out. That I would hate more than them being put in there. So I'm still working on this, and I just want to share the fact that I'm open to it. One more point, as I move along here, I do seem to have a string of items. Yesterday I was at the college. It was my final day. I submitted my marks. I did it all. The girls who I wanted to pass or the students I was hoping would cheer them on, most of them did. Some were borderline. Well, they remain borderline. And it all worked out, and it was, I felt very fair, everything, the way it played out. And because they have so many tests and opportunities during the year. It's not all based on one final make-it-or-break-it exam. I exchanged emails and comments that at one point actually had me in weepy-eyed, teary-eyed, just because of the sharing, the closeness I felt. And where was I now? That closeness. So at the college, there were so many people I talked to and I really liked. And I thought, wow, it is a great working environment. There are very intelligent, compassionate, caring, interesting, well-educated people here. This is great. We all do our bitching, you know, about these damn students who I spent all year teaching this and nobody seems to pick up on it. And so many students come begging at the last, can I redo this? Well, I asked you at the beginning to do that. And anyway, there's a lot to bitch about at the college. But there's so much to celebrate in terms of just being a place to work at a job that I have. And one of the people I shared time with and had a wonderful exchange. I was looking for some help as I posted my answers to this assignment I had to do regarding Costa Rica. I put up a blog and then I put up an e-portfolio so that people could access the audio. It was the only way I could do it on the college system. Seems a little complex. You've got to, you know, download files and so on rather than just click and play, but that's the way it is. And I just hope the people that I sent it to will be able to figure it out. I did my best. But I spoke to another man who also happens to be a Sikh. And he's a man we love looking at because he says his wife dresses. I commented on the different colored turbans he wears. And they always go beautifully with the shirt. And we have some favorites. There's like a sort of a purple one or a pinkish one that goes with a lovely shirt. And we can't help but notice. And I commented with another woman. And she says, yes, I love it when Sharon wears that shirt, that turban. He is a kind, another intelligent, creative person. And we had a beautiful exchange yesterday, just talking about my needs. And I mentioned my podcast, because we were talking about, and he had hauled out his digital recorder. He's got one, because he does some singing and some other projects he's involved in. And I felt so bad that I can't give him the link to this podcast, because number one, it's just plain boring for somebody who hasn't invested in me or this kind of listening. I could give him a link to say, here's a podcast on Canadian history, or here's one on cultural diversity, or here's one on a specific topic that is of interest to an educated, intelligent person who's, you know, time is limited, but I can't say, oh, come and listen to my podcast. And it really saddens me that I can't do that, because I know the worth or the unworth or unworthiness of this podcast. And again, I don't say that so much with a bad feeling. It's just that it's only meant for certain people. And my gosh, I hope I haven't driven those few listeners away already. But it's just, it's that crazy thing. If only it were otherwise, if only what I was presenting were truly inspired words and enlightening comments that people would take to heart and would mean something and would be important in their lives. And I'm just not up to that. But, hey, I am what I am. This is what it is, to quote Dave Brodbeck once again. I guess I better leave it there and find out who's tweeting me in and get back to you a little later. I'm determined. We're going out tonight. I found a new place, Smith Brothers Steakhouse, here in Scarborough. I'm delighted to go to a new bar. Can't wait to try out their on-premise beer and everything else, and a great steak dinner. And tomorrow I'm driving to Ottawa. All this business of me planning a birthday party, fuck it, sorry. It would have been a lot of work for me and would have been things I had to do and just would have been an added burden. And I just want to treat myself from a freewheeling trip to Ottawa, out into the bush of Oxford Mills, Oxford Station, Kempville, Nepean, and all over the place of just an unplanned open weekend, and maybe catch up with a few old friends, Mark Blevis, hopefully, and have some fun, have me some free time, and then get back to reality on my return. So bye for now. Scarborough Dude signing out. Thanks, as always, for those of you still hanging in there. Much appreciated. And a special shout out to Norm Augustinus. I got bragging rights here. Norm said I could come and visit him anytime and stay with him. And believe me, I feel I'm wearing that as a badge of honor. Thank you, Norm. Much appreciated. Bye for now.
This is CBC News. It's 3 o'clock Mountain, 4 o'clock Central, 5 o'clock Eastern. Good afternoon. I'm Bernie McAvey with The World This Hour. We begin in Toronto, where Mayor Rob Ford has begun a leave of absence. In a statement, Ford says he's battling alcohol problems and will enter rehab. The announcement came just as two damaging stories surfaced about the mayor. The CBC's Lorinda Redekop is at Toronto City Hall with more on the controversy.
We have this audio recording apparently recorded at a bar near Rob Ford's house, also near where his mother lives, taken apparently Monday night, and in which he's saying some pretty offensive things. Some people are calling the comments, some of them homophobic, as well as misogynist against Councillor Karen Stintz, who is also running for mayor against him. In which he would classify them as very lewd, crude, sexual comments. And then from the Globe and Mail, another newspaper, we have other information. Once again, we're hearing that two reporters have seen a video of Mayor Rob Ford smoking crack. But this one, they say, was taken much more recently than what we heard from a year ago with these similar stories from the Toronto Star. This apparently was early Saturday morning in the basement of Rob Ford's sister's house, Kathy Ford. And they have pictures of the mayor holding what appears to be a crack pipe. So the Globe and Mail has those pictures, as well as the U.S. website Gawker. And then after that, later in the evening last night, is when Rob Ford put out that statement saying that he was stepping down and seeking help.
The CBC's Loretta Redicott. Rob Ford had no comment as he left his home earlier today, but the mayor's brother, Councillor Doug Ford, made a brief statement to reporters.
As an older brother, I'm relieved that Rob has faced his problems and has decided to seek professional help. This is not an easy thing for anyone to do, especially when you're the mayor of the city.
Doug Ford did not say how long his brother might be away from the job.
I love the sound of rain. Used to hear it when I was in Nigeria. You know, you had tin roofs on your homes, and when it was rainy season, it was just amazing. Just, we were talking about torrential downpours, but there's something always so cozy about the rain. It takes me back to, grade four for some reason. I used to commute from Pointe Claire into the school where we thought I'd be attending, and I don't know, something about being inside the classroom, being a little bit afraid because I was new to this school, and there was a teacher, a music teacher. Well, I had come from Valleyfield, okay, a small school right across the street from our home where my brother and sister went. It was everywhere from kindergarten to grade 11, Galt Institute. And suddenly I'm in a suburban school, a new, you know, modern brick, long building. And there was a music teacher, and she taught us Johnny Schmoker. And who the hell is Johnny Schmoker, and how the hell would I know that song? And it's as if every kid who had her the year before had already learned Johnny Schmoker. She must have been German. And I just felt so out of place. You know, what the hell is it? What kind of song is that? It was Johnny Schmoker, Johnny Schmoker. Can you sing? Can you play? I can play it from my violin. I guess it was a Tweedledee, so sings my violin. And I guess it was to teach you the notes and everything, but I couldn't make head nor tail of Johnny Schmoker. Anyways, I remember the rain and raincoats. And you're inside, and there's something cozy. It wasn't her class. I wasn't happy there. And, gosh, when we switched from there and went to another school in Lakeside Heights, where we live, when we went to Northview Elementary, that was the school where I had to take a bus to school and didn't know the rules, and the principal was just a hard ass. Said there will be no spelling mistakes in our school. Everybody will spell correctly. Anybody who doesn't spell correctly stays after school. Like, boom, that was it. And not a nice man. And I thought, holy shit, what have my parents done to me? Why did they put me here? And I did cry a lot. When I'd come home from school, like, just, this is not fun, this is not, there's something wrong. But then by the time I got to grade five, I guess maybe that's where I developed some of my friend-making skills, because I realized I am going to be the outsider kid, I'm going to be the new one. And I got pretty good at making good friends and choosing the good ones. I was an outsider, there were others who wanted nothing to do with me, thought I was a bit odd, which I was, probably got more odd as time went on, but I developed the survival skills, the coping skills necessary. Nothing at all like somebody whose parents are either ministers or in the military and have to move all the time, and we always hear about them having all kinds of problems. Maybe they get resilient and strong, but certainly that's got to be a little difficult to just adjust to a new place every couple of years or something. But anyway, moving on, it is now Tuesday, April 29th. This is the day I put everything off until I gave myself a little holiday. If you remember back, all that talk about should I have a birthday party or not, and the fact that I questioned it so often, now in hindsight, it's obvious, no, it wasn't meant to be. I didn't really want to do that. And I'm really glad I didn't, and instead went out for dinner Friday night with my son and my wife. Had an excellent steak dinner. I may get back to that story later. And then Saturday, drove off to Ottawa, and I had the most wonderful weekend of exactly the kind of thing I wanted and needed. And that was just open and free, everything flowing nicely, nothing rushed, nothing forced, nothing that involved a hard decision. It just, everything fell into place beautifully. Starting off with, where did I go first? Probably straight into Ottawa to meet Mark and Andrea. And some nice time with them. I won't go through the whole weekend. You know, you know what that's like. But it just flowed along so nicely. And it was just great to catch up and just have some exchange stories and go for a nice walk along the river and joke quite a bit. And then from there, straight into... No, that's all wrong. That's all wrong. No, like, everything that happened, it was just another day. No, first I went to... Wait a minute now. Where the hell did I go? No! I went to go see Sue's Muse because I wanted to see her cats, that beautiful, beautiful white cat. And the crazy dog and... Lucy and what are their names now? I'm losing it. But yeah, I drove straight all the way into Ottawa, straight to the home of Sue's Muse and Greg, and visited their pets. It was wonderful. It was really nice, and had a nice conversation. And then drove all the way back down south to. You know, the Kempville area to spend the night with my nephew and niece and visited my brother and sister-in-law and I guess my nephew and niece's children. I forget what relation they would be. Just pleasant time and actual good conversations with my brother, recognizing that we're very different. And have certainly different political outlooks, and he wanted to know why exactly I didn't like Harper, and I just said the list is too long to even begin, but, which was not a good answer, by the way. But it was real family time, and I'd missed out on my family at Easter, and I'm just so glad, and this was sort of, I guess, the underlying purpose for the visit, to reconnect with family. And then from there into Ottawa to meet Mark and Andrea. That's what we did. And then from there out to Russell to visit Cousin Zeke. I haven't talked about Cousin Zeke for a long time. He's the man who bought an acre of cornfield, flat cornfield, 1 acre, on the outskirts of Russell, and built a house. All by himself. I mean, a real house, like a brick bungalow, beautiful house, had people in for the odd necessary things, but basically did the whole thing himself. I visited him when he was standing in the, what would now be the basement, like with a shovel in his hand. Like, it was amazing. And it is a forest. He planted every tree by hand. He's created this most amazing acre of land. I've just... Oh, I guess there's at least 40 kinds of trees. He could tell you exactly what every tree is. You know, the red oak, the black oak, the cedars, the pines. And it's beautiful. And every time when you go there, you have a tour. You just take your time and you have a grab a beer, maybe a toke if you're so inclined, and have this walk through his man-made forest. It's absolutely beautiful. And, of course... The birds, the cardinals, the finches, all the birds that come around, And more importantly, Cousin Zeke. I guess I could call him a guru, my guru, a guru, maybe too many of us. The best educated, probably one of the more, certainly one of the more intelligent people I've ever met. Solid education, private boys' school, and an amazing guy. I can't help but sort of walk in there and, okay, I'm a stupid cousin, but let's talk anyway. And we have these most wonderful conversations about the nature. Like, he is a Richard Dawkins view of the world, is how he grew up with religion, and how, of course, it was just shed to the position that he holds now as an understanding evolution and almost predeterminism, that everything that is decided by whatever preceded it. I couldn't even begin to get into those conversations, but it was valuable and it was wonderful, and I hadn't done that for a long time. And sat out, he built this huge, huge garage, which is like a workshop. Somebody, you could open up a factory in there. And that's where you go out, and he's got an old radio, cranks that up, a couple of big speakers, and you just sit on some table or bench, grab your beer, and just talk, and then, boom, maybe continue the tour, piss outdoors. He's even made a French-style pissoir, you know, a little place where you can just, hidden a little bit by the hedges, so it's not seen by the main road, but you just don't bother wasting flushing water. Very, very self-sufficient. They just don't spend money. I took photos, I don't even know if I'll post, of sweaters full of holes that he wears. He just doesn't care. And it's amazing. Like, just created an alternate world to live in. And with the idea, originally, he was just going to build that house and sell it. And ended up marrying a woman across the road and has never left. Raised his son there. Whose son is just another going concern. Anyway, a man I am very much somewhat in awe of, as was my father to his father. I know I've mentioned all of this before, but some new listeners may not have heard that. And it had been a while since I had gone out there. And, of course, he just took a whole chicken, put it on the fire, on the barbecue, did nothing with it, and then served up the most delicious meal and breakfast the next morning. And then leaving there the next day, drove all the way out to Nepean and visited my sister and had lunch with her. So I got to see everybody in my family, which was really important to me. And it was a wonderful connection and time spent talking about family and acknowledging the fact that we are all so different, my brother, my sister, and I. But when the first one of us dies, how hard it will be for the other two. That's what I keep saying and keep saying. I hope I'm the first. Although they are 5 and 7 years older than me. We do mean a lot to each other. We're just different and have different perspectives on our life, and very different personalities, and live in very different worlds. And that's the way it is. Anyway, gee, I promised I wasn't going to tell you about the weekend that I just did, but it was a celebration. Everything, like even the decision, I hadn't mapped this out. I just phoned Cousin Zeke from the coffee shop where I was supposed to meet Mark and Andrea, and asked if he was doing anything. No, where are you? Well, I'm Bank Street. How about if I drop by at 5? And we did. My purpose of one of the reasons for going into Ottawa was this Black Squirrel book shop Mark talked about. They just opened the new branch up on Bank. And I went in and found a great big book, far too heavy to carry with me this summer, but about the education system in America and how young people aren't familiar with the artists, the heroes. They've lost touch with the culture. He said universities are teaching abstractions and strange theories, but have forgotten a lot of the basics and certainly the value of just an arts degree. And, of course, now you listen to CBC, it's almost like warning people to stay away from, don't go in for an arts degree or even a BSc because you're not going to get a job. A college is where it's at, and this will get you the jobs for today's economy. And it's frightening that I'm so happy I went at a time when it was enough to go and get a Bachelor of Arts and just study and think and read. Wow. So this book is about a journey a man took a bunch of students on a bus and traveled all over America to about 30 states to rediscover Bob Dylan, Jack Kerouac, and Thomas Wolfe, and all writers and things that make America rich in culture. So that's the book I got. And then on the way out, we left. He had a dollar bin. I walked past. Wait a minute. You don't walk past a bin of books at a bookstore you've been at. And I picked up for $1, holding it in my hand now, Zen to Go. And I love it. Compiled and edited by John Whitaker, author of The Portable Curmudgeon. It's a great little book. I mean, I've got many of these of just Zen quotes organized under various chapter headings, you know. Here's one on reality. And this is, of course, random. I don't know. Max Planck, what did he have to say? We have no right to assume that any physical laws exist, or if they have existed up to now, that they will continue to exist in similar manner in the future. Who knows what that means? Reality is where we are from moment to moment. And that one I like, and that's a simple, I like that. Hermann Hesse is a good one. There is no reality except the one contained within us. That is why so many people live such an unreal life. They take the images outside them for reality and never allow the world within to assert itself. Whoa! Bingo! Hermann Hesse. Like that one. So you can pause the tape, rewind, get back to it, read it again. Yeah, so I just love books like this. And of course, when I go to Colorado this summer, this book will be coming with myself and the Barstool Buddha. Nature. Wind moving through grass so that the grass quivers. This moves me with an emotion I don't even understand. Oh, yeah. How about one from a Buddhist, Japanese Zen Buddhist, Dogen? Handle even a single leaf of green in such a way that it manifests the body of the Buddha. This in turn allows the Buddha to manifest through the leaf. Now, to me, that's where acid comes in. The shortcut, I saw that acid trip that myself and, oh, it was Reginald, the one we went out to Dorval Airport, looked up at a tree and saw life through the trembling of a leaf. Like, really, wow. I see the life for it. I've never seen a leaf alive before. I'm seeing it now. No shit, that was good stuff. Frank Lloyd Wright, I believe in God, only I spell it nature. Okay. About Aldous Huxley, my father considered a walk among the mountains as the equivalent of church going. Now, that's a great one. That's a good one, you know. These are beautiful. They're beautiful. They're beautiful. I love it. A dollar! Only because I paused to go back. Only because I insisted. Mark, thank you. Because we all play a part. This isn't an isolation. Mark took a picture of a book of shelves that contained the works of Kerouac just as a teaser. And posted it up on, I guess, Twitter or something. And it was just, I said, whoa, I got to go. Any book that puts Kerouac together and the Beats, I got to visit. I went to that very shelf that Mark had taken the picture of and, of course, had every book there. So no need to buy anything, but found this other one, and which is good, which belongs in the collection, except that it weighs a ton. And then this great little wonderful bonus on the way out. Here's one of those Zen koans, you know, Master Genja, 831 to 908. So we're talking 1,200 years ago. The monk says, where can I enter Zen, Genja? Can you hear the babbling brook? Yes, I can hear it. Then enter there. Oh, I love it, I love it, I love it. So, what the hell is this? No knowledge. Chapter heading, no knowledge. I do not understand Buddhism, period. Charles Bukowski, another great hero. Knowledge is knowing as little as possible. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, I won't do all of this to you, but let me just read a little patch just at the very beginning of the intro on what he has to say about Buddhism. Come on, where is it? The introduction, yes. Just one paragraph. The Buddha taught that the ego, or self, is the cause of all suffering. In its frantic pursuit of comfort and security, it imprisons us in a vicious cycle of joy and pain. Because comfort and security are illusions, in an effort to promote its separate existence, the grasping self alienates us from our original condition of oneness with the Absolute and condemns us to a life of delusion. Now, that's good, and that is it. And I'll leave it there. I mean, I could just happily, but I think what I'll do... Today is the day I've got to go back. I see our time is up. I've got to go back and do things for my business. And I just said, oh, man, I just got to get out and sit by the water. The waves are rough. I am in nature. I'm in the park, except I'm in this cocoon of a car because it's cold and wet and windy. But I am here, and I'm happy about it. I think the one thing about this weekend that I said to my perhaps to my sister, but mainly to my nephew and niece, who I feel very, very close to, was that this is one of the happiest times in my life. Cousin Zeke as well, I mentioned. That this job I have at the college, I absolutely love. I couldn't have a better job for the connectedness I feel, and what I'm still learning and gaining from the experience. My summer tour, wow, you know, you'll hear from me when I'm off with those girls up at Bark Lake, and just the joy of the life I'm living, the freedom I have to go out Saturday night to the only cafe and drink beer with Brian. This is all so wonderful, the freedom I have to head off to Colorado this summer and go on a road trip with the Barstool Buddha. I think the one more thing, although I dragged you through the weekend, an awful lot of the things that happen that count are the things we don't even record and talk about. And such was this weekend of just the actual conversation. I didn't bring the recorder out, in other words, the entire time I was in Ottawa. From the last time I recorded, the beginning of this podcast, was here in this very spot in this very park. And here we are again today, and not once on that wonderful weekend of freedom in Ottawa did I bother to stop and record. I just lived it, and that's something we have to do. So I got to leave it there. Oh, my God, 22 minutes already. I'm over time, but I wanted to say, and Cousin Zeke also pointed out that a lot of people don't recognize, but life in your 60s can be very, very, very good. And I think that's a message to people who fear growing old and losing things, losing the things they treasure, that a lot of people have studied life and say, well, your 20s are just wild and you're full of energy, but something else happens in your 60s and it can be great. And I truly want this to be a word going out to all of you who are younger than me that, hey, don't worry about growing older. It can be just as great as your life is now, if not better. All right, 11 o'clock. Gotta go. Gotta do some stuff. Bye for now.
Up the trail. give my pony back to you.
There's a roundup in the sky.
I'm gonna burn my brand on the silvery high of a shooting star and take a ride to the land beyond the great divide.
There's a roundup in the sky. Get along, Dogie, up the trail, high tail. Get along, Dogie, there's a roundup in the sky.
I see them gathered round the moon.
There's a roundup in the sky.
I guess they know I'll be there soon.
There's a roundup in the sky.
I hate to leave old pal, but still I just can't wait for the night until I'll be herding stars with Buffalo Bill.
There's a roundup in the sky. Get along, Dogie, up the trail, high tail. Get along, Dogie, there's a roundup in the sky.
Check, check. I was just listening to the list. Shall we start over? Check, check. I was just listening to the radio, and it was nothing but Rob Ford again. And I just can't believe how that man has sucked up so much news time. Front page, I'm holding the Globe and Mail in front of me. Front page of the Globe and Mail. Ford takes break as new drug video revealed, and on it goes. So, we're not going to have any more Rob Ford talk here on the Dixon James podcast, because we got other more important things to talk about, don't we? I'm in the Gold Station parking lot. It is 6:10. There's a train downtown at 6:20, which I'm exactly timed for. And you know how I'm usually saying, push, push. Make that extra effort. Go downtown. Don't stay home. And I'm wavering today. I'm thinking, no, Ken, every rule you make is meant to be broken. And I'm thinking, you know, I could go home, put my feet up, put on the hockey game, Montreal Canadiens, and have a nice evening at home, because I've already got a bit of a buzz on. My energy is low. It's the Ichimokukai night, you know, the Canada-Japan Society. There's going to be young people there. Going to make an effort to conversation. Take the train, take the subway, walk. Get something to eat, get some beer, hang on. And then, of course, have to stay on. There's no point in going unless you're going to stay for the Nijikai, which is the second party. And then you're getting late and you got to find your way home. Oh, man. And then you're into the pints after you've already been. No. Dude, stay home. Come on. I had a full day. I was at a conference all day on. It was for my community college, and it was a good conference. There were two main sessions I went to in the morning, and then a guest speaker who I didn't realize is somebody I actually follow on Twitter. He was terrific. He gave a really good talk. Creating engaging learning environments. That was what it was about. Creating engaging learning environments. And it's something we try to do. And it was very inspirational. There were good talkers. I went to two sessions on technology in the classroom, which was great. One was making good use of video and ways you can use video, even in grading students, you know, record your voiceover or your video of it as you're marking their paper or going over their paper. And the other one was just the different things you can use with your iPad, pockets of innovation, technology in today's classrooms. So that was good. But what made it better was at the end, they gave you a single drink ticket. Well, I ended up with four, you know. So anyway, I got to leave and some were left on the table. And I don't know, I thought I even got more than that, but I must have lost them. And now out of that, of course, I did buy a drink for somebody. But got into one of those fantastic conversations. I mentioned, I don't know if it was in the previous podcast or earlier on this one, a man. And I hate to define him as being a Sikh because that's not his identity. It's just that this is visually what I see when his face comes to mind. It's a wonderful face, full of character, and a white beard, and every day almost a different colored turban tied so beautifully. A fine man who just has a passion for life. And I ended up with him and sharing a glass of wine with him and deep into conversation about on levels of abstraction, but also very, very real levels. He gave a presentation today, which I didn't attend to, but it was basically sort of the essence of language. I'd have a very hard time explaining when he tells me, I can sort of almost hold on to it, but not entirely. Definitely bright. Here, I'm going to read out the description. Have you ever thought or inquired about your identity? Who are you? You do not need to be a philosopher, neurologist, cognitive or social scientist, a scholar, or a faith preacher to find an answer. The English alphabet has everything you need to know to answer. By staying in a learning mode and understanding the patterns of this alphabet, you can achieve great insights. In this workshop, we will have fun with a pangram, a sentence using every letter in the alphabet. We will uncover the patterns within the alphabet that help participants to acquire complete knowledge, to more fully understand themselves. So that's what it was about. And he understood that. And I guess how much language does shape our identity, and he was sort of getting beyond that to the essence of ourselves once we shed all the various layers. Anyway, I'm just so impressed, and he seems to be quite taken with me. And there was just a shared compassion, you know, it was a touch, an arm around the shoulder. And it's a thing that just means a lot. I mentioned earlier at this college, I'm connecting with some very intelligent, very caring, very wise people. And it's such a good thing. I don't know. I can't seem to share with you the meaning. And again, maybe it's a limitation of language, or maybe it's just my own limited ability to convey things of value. But it was a wonderful way to spend the day. And this was an added bonus. The fact that we hung till the very... We were the last to leave. Now, that's not unusual for me to be the last to leave an open bar. By the way, one of my students from my Costa Rican students was also serving at the bar. So I thought that was kind of neat. So just a lot of good things happening as this semester wraps up. Did I mention I went in to speak with the dean? I mentioned I kind of wanted to. And just good thing that I did. Opened up and talked. I realize sometimes I do, I don't know, hang on to misunderstandings or hold grudges. And it's much to my discredit. And I've got to get rid of that. I've got to shed myself of those things. There was a woman today when we walked in who I always felt ignored me. From one one instance, one misunderstanding. And I've always had this grudge, this feel, this, you know, I've been unjustly treated. And only today, as I walked in with her, having a wonderful conversation about my summer tour and program, that, you know, maybe it's me who's been the one creating this distance. The person who I seem to have had some trouble with during my trip to Costa Rica was there today, and I purposefully avoided eye contact, to my discredit, to my shame, until she waved and waved, and somebody nudged me and said, look, there's somebody who wants your attention. And I waved back and went on with my conversation, and I felt, man, dude, you should go to her office and issue an apology and say, if there's any misunderstanding, it's mine, for not being more of a man, for not stepping up, for not being more assertive, for not speaking my mind. Because sometimes there still are those two selves, and one of these selves feels inadequate and hangs on to an awful lot of the past. And I've just got so much further to evolve. I've got so much further to go in terms of being a better person, a more enlightened person, a person who is kinder, more loving, more compassionate. I need that. I need to do that. And, I don't know, days like today, you walk away feeling good when somebody says what a nice man you are. We had this conversation over wine. The other man was from Zimbabwe, and we shared, we cared, we loved in a way. It's awkward to say that, but there was true caring, deep caring. What do you do with that? I mean, I tell you about it, but we all agreed, part of our job as educators is we've got to enlighten students more. We have to do more to open their eyes to other things in life, to things beyond just your trade or the skill set you want to learn so that you can make this amount of money. But hey, easy for us to say. Anyway, I've made up my mind. I'm going to miss that train. I'm going to turn around. I'm going to go home. I thought we'd just wait here till it went past, and I would say, aha. But that's not for another few minutes. So let's just end it here. I've just, God, there's so often I wish, I feel this shame about this podcast that I so want to inspire you. I so want to give you something, you listener. To shine a light, to share what it just is I talked about today, what we felt, you know, as we stood together and talked. And somehow I can't seem to do that. I'm just so damn limited in my whatever, my understanding, my awareness. It's there. I feel it. I experience it. I just have a hard time getting it out on this podcast. And maybe it's the nature of the beast. Maybe it's not just all me. Maybe it just is this medium of just words. And what am I trying to do with these words? Some of you, I would reach out and hug. I say some of you. Sorry, because I don't know who is out there at all times. But a hug says a lot. Or just a grip of the shoulder or the arm or a touch of the hands. The warmth of holding another human's hand. These things mean so much. And it's wonderful when it's people who are in some ways relative strangers who we are still in the process of getting closer to. We agreed. I told them about I belong to a podcasters group, and one of our mantras is find the others. Find the others. That's what Timothy Leary said, and yet I could never convince these people that I'm just tying myself up more with words. So anyway, boys, girls, this is the Scarborough Dude, and I'm signing out now. Wishing I could give you so much more. But this is what we got. Oh, here comes the train. Let's just hear it. And that is the train. I am not getting on. That is the 6:20 to Union Station from Eglinton. And I could so easily be right now standing on that platform, about to board, heading downtown. That was the plan. Oh, my God, am I having second thoughts? I won't get that one, but there is one at 6:43. Oh, dear. Decisions, decisions, decisions. You'll find out next week.